News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, if you want to call in, I'd like to hear your opinion. Should we allow crossover voting? Should we allow folks who have always been Democrats, and we know they're Democrats, to vote in Republican primaries, and of course vice versa? 866-494-9866. You are welcome to call in. Give me that opinion. I'd love to hear it. I got one right now on the line. Charles from Morgan County, line 5. How you doing today, man?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
I was listening on the Saturday before we vote on Tuesday to the Valley Labor Report with Jacob and Adam. And in their last segment where they were still on the air because they go to a podcast, they were saying there wasn't really, pretty much, I'm going to give it in a general way, there weren't a lot of options on their Democrat ballot or very many choices, and if they would make a better difference, everyone, as far as Democrats, if they changed and caused there to be a less conservative vote for candidates, in particular Katie Britt. And they also named off all the other candidates except for one, as far as pretty much stating they were way more conservative than our Governor Ivey. And this was alluding me to the fact of a whole lot of us are just going to cross over to change this. In other words, I think that if a whole group of them had not done this, Kay Ivey would have been more at 48% instead of the 54%. Are you following me?
Oh, yeah.
And the difference between Katie Britt would have also been substantial. Now, I think that if in our times there are a lot of people that probably don't like the Democrat Party because of what Biden has done and maybe wanted to come over and just say, hey, but I think there's a difference in those persons and somebody just thinking we're going to change an election. Could that go on a statewide level about what you were saying that, what you were talking about with Graddick and them? Could a candidate say Ivey wouldn't have got that or Katie wouldn't have got that if this hadn't happened?
It's absolutely possible. Now, it would take a pretty deep dive into the voter rolls. But we can already see it in some places. I mean, we know for a fact that we've been talking about this situation down in Lee County. That's a one vote spread. So it's pretty easy to see if you had 10 Democrats band together and say we're going to do this, then they swung the election. But what we're seeing right now is that there are multiple places. In fact, I've got a story right here I hadn't even gotten to yet. Over in Georgia, it appears there was an organized effort, and it was designed to go and try to take out what they believed were the Trump selectees. And because they were anti-Trump, being Democrats, they wanted the Trump-selected candidates off the ballot. And so we saw organized efforts like that in Georgia right next door. So, yes, I do believe it's possible.
And there would be a time limit on Mo Brooks or someone doing that, correct?
Doing what? Challenging it?
Yes, challenging it as far, especially with Ivey, though. With Ivey, that kind of push, purposeful, organized, could have taken her where into there not being a runoff, which would ultimately change Blanchard being second or whoever it might be, the whole course of conservatism in Republic voting.
Yeah, the interesting dynamic here is it's not against the law. So to challenge it, you have to have solid grounds. You can't just have a grievance. You have to have actual cause of action.
So the Graddick one that you're talking about, it wouldn't mean, because you do get what I'm saying, there would be a major difference if it took her over 50%, and it would not have happened without their coalescing, getting together to purposefully do it.
If that can be shown, at the very least, I think it would have an impact on voter sentiment going into the next round of the runoff. But for Kay Ivey, I think it's water under the bridge. And even if it did happen, she had enough of a spread coming out of it to where there is nothing left for somebody to challenge because the time limit for challenging that has likely passed.
I take it back.
I think they have 24 more hours now that I say that.
Right. I think that you should listen to Valley Labor Report, the last section that was live on that Saturday. You will be very, very intrigued by what they say.
I probably would be intrigued. I'd probably lose brain cells by listening to it, but nonetheless, appreciate that.
Well,
hey, Charles, we got a break now, brother. I got to run. All right. Hey, Charles, thanks so much for the call, man. We're up against the hard break. Great call. Thank you for giving us that insight. All right. Take care. All right, folks, listen, you want to call in and discuss the same, 866-494-9866. If we have calls, we'll take them. If not, I'm moving to number three on the triple dipper, Ukraine. What now? What next? We'll talk about that when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And it is 4:35 p.m. It is in go-home time right now for many of you. I got somebody on line one. Hey, it's Jeff from Indiana. Jeff, how you doing today, man?
Doing good, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind, brother?
Basically, I'm down here in Gulf Shores right now, on vacation between that and Pensacola.
Well,
got
nice.
Got some new listeners down here from... From wearing your shirt there.
Well, good deal. Appreciate it very much. That's awesome.
But on this primary voting, see, we have open primaries in Indiana.
Yeah.
And where I'm from, you didn't draw a Democrat ballot. You basically didn't get to vote in any of the local elections.
Oh, wow.
So I've ran twice as a Republican for county council. And I ran once for a city council as a Democrat. I guess you'd call me a demo instead of a rhino.
Okay.
I may be the only demo out there that I know of.
So even your local municipal races require a party affiliation?
No. It's an open primary. Just like I say, I had to change my party affiliation, I guess, to run as a Democrat.
Wow. Okay. Well, do y'all ever see crossover issues up there with you? I assume it's everywhere.
Well, the only thing I like about the Alabama is that, you know, in Indiana, once you go through the primary, whoever has the most votes, even by one vote, that you're it. You know, there's no runoffs or anything else like that. But basically, I would always draw the Democrat ticket and vote for the, if there was a Republican challenger, which there was never a primary because you do well to just have one person running, you know, I would always choose whichever would be the weakest of them to go up against. And then, like I say, in the general, I would vote for Republican though.
Well, and I think that's what we're seeing. I don't know if you heard my part of the show earlier, but we had a gubernatorial election back in the 80s in Alabama that got totally unhinged because of that very thing.
Yeah, it's dirty. I mean, it's war, man. I mean, everything's fair in love and war, you know.
Love, war, and politics, right? Well, we'll
exactly.
See. I mean, I don't know that we're going to see any changes to Alabama law on this. But I can tell you right now, there's one state senator, and you probably heard me talking about him, Tom Whiteley down in Lee County, who's been in the state Senate now for three terms, and he is down by one vote after all said and done. And it appears that there was an actual coalescing of Democrats to run into the other primary to try and keep him out on the next go round. And so I'm not going to be surprised if he's not dropping a bill. If he ever gets back in, I expect to see a Tom Whiteley sponsored bill to change the way we handle primaries.
I mean, like I say, it's politics, man. You got to do what you got to do.
Well, all right, Jeff. Hey, man, listen, enjoy your vacation down there. Hope it goes well. And thanks for wearing the shirt and getting us some new listeners.
Hey, yeah, get some great people listening to you down here.
All right. Well, I know that to be true. You're one of them. Thanks, man. You have a great time. All right. Listen, you want to call in? I'll take those calls. 866-494-9866. I love that. Not only is Jeff from Indiana, but he takes us on vacation to Gulf Shores. Thank you, Jeff. And by the way, thank you for bringing your vacation tax dollars to the great state of Alabama. We appreciate that, too. All right, listen, I will keep taking those calls on issues related to crossover voting if you want to talk on that. I also did expanding Medicaid earlier. You're welcome to call on that. Right now, I'm going to spend a few minutes, though, talking about Ukraine. Ukraine, what now, what next, is number three on the triple dipper. Let me tell you, the situation over there is no better than it was before. I mean, basically, I'll tell you this. Have the Russians made gains in the last few weeks? Yes, they have. The Russians finally were able to claim control of the city of Mariupol down on the southeastern coastal regions of the country. They have begun advancing across that area, and they're certainly fighting hard in the Donbass region, which is on the eastern border of Ukraine, western border of Russia. What they're trying to do is create the land bridge to get over to the Crimean Peninsula, which they annexed, you know, just went in there and took it in 2014, and the Obama administration said nothing. I will say this, President Biden has been equipping them pretty substantially. Story off of Fox News, this one came out just yesterday. Biden approves sending advanced rocket systems to Ukraine, walking a very fine line with Russians, said one expert. So here's the deal. There was a period of time just last week where Biden was saying he did not intend to send rocket systems, in his words, that could strike into Russia. Well, I got news. Virtually any rocket system can strike into Russia. I mean, artillery rounds can strike into Russia. So I'm not sure how you... I mean, I get it. You don't want to advance the position of saying that we can give you something that can now hit Moscow or some major target deep inland or deep behind the lines. But nonetheless, it appears there have been some softening of that. And so the 11th aid package, which is getting pretty substantial, y'all, the 11th aid package approved so far will include helicopters, tactical vehicles, Javelin anti-tank missiles, Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, and other advanced weapons. And folks, the Ukrainians are still putting the wood to the Russians by and large. And I support arming them, absolutely. I think it's the thing to do. I think we have to make sure we have some accountability in the way money is flowing out of D.C. right now. But there is zero benefit to the national interest of the United States in allowing Russia to seize territory from sovereign friendly nations in Europe. None whatsoever. So I do support this continued effort to make sure that the Ukrainians have what they need. Although one expert says, and I don't disagree with this, a former Defense Intelligence Agency officer named Rebecca Koffler says in the same article that we are actually walking a very fine line with the Russians. Well, I got news. The Russians are walking a fine line with the world right now. But here's an interesting thing. NBC News, in conjunction with Reuters. Storyline dated yesterday. You know that we've reached a new place in the war when they can finally begin making sure they insert their wokeness into the reporting. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This is big. I want to make sure y'all understand how important this is. It's very important that as we fight back an aggressive Russian force trying to seize a sovereign country, it's very important that we take note of the fact that Ukraine does have some LGBTQ soldiers. I bet you didn't know that. I bet you didn't care. I mean, when you're on the front lines fighting, see, the liberals think that people want to know the sexual interests of the person in the foxhole next to them, but they just can't stand it. Copra, what's your point?
The LGBTQ plus YA, whatever's, people just can't stand not being the center of everybody's attention.
I guess, or at least the woke media has to virtue signal and make sure we keep bringing them to the front of the attention. I would hazard the guess that by and large, the majority of the minority, if you will, because you know, studies indicate that the gay population in the United States is like what? 1-2%. They're not the vast majority, and I bet the majority of those would just like to be left alone and live their lives. And yet it's important to NBC News to be able to point out that members of Ukraine's LGBT community who sign up for the war have taken to sewing the image of a mythical beast of the unicorn onto their standard issue epaulets just below the national flag on their uniform. Okay. This is some great wartime reporting. You know, when you go to the front lines, if it's so easy for you that all you've got to report is that there's an LGBTQ couple fighting together who have unicorns sewn on their uniform, I would dare say you must not be in the thick of things. Otherwise, you would be reporting on something else. I mean, it even goes on to quote the one of the two. You know what? It just occurred to me. I hadn't even thought about this. It doesn't say there's a whole unit. They represent a whole lot of people. They found two, and they wrote an entire article about it. The thing I'm worried about is that in case I get killed during this war, they won't allow Antonina, that's his gay partner, to bury me the way I want to be buried. They'd rather let my mom bury me with my priest, with a priest reading silly prayers, but I'm an atheist and I don't want that. And they went on to say that, you know, they were just really glad they were allowed to use their she pronouns when they got to the new unit. That's just, that is such worthless war correspondent reporting. I get it. There are members of the U.S. military that are gay. I get it. I am sure that there are members of even special operations that are gay. I get it. Do we have to go to war and report upon the movements of the LGBTQ? That level of virtue signaling is not responsible for reporting. I mean, it ranks right up there with the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, announcing that she is about to cure transgender homelessness. Well, how about non-transgender homelessness? How about just homelessness? How about you go to war and report on the war? Anyway, there's that. Okay, Wall Street Journal reporting as of yesterday in Ukraine. Wall Street Journal reporting as of yesterday that there are, in their words, cracks beginning to show in the Western Front against Russia's war in Ukraine. By that, what they mean is, of course, the friendly nations, the NATO nations and other friendly nations that are not necessarily, leaning towards Russia tend to be on the western edge of Europe and the western border of Ukraine, Poland being right next door being one. It says cracks are beginning to appear in the Western Front against Moscow, with America's European allies increasingly split over whether to keep shipping more powerful weapons to Ukraine. Some fear could prolong the conflict and increase its economic fallout. So what we see right here is apparently Wall Street Journal's reporting France and Germany are one block, or leading one block of NATO countries that believe it's time to stop up-arming Ukraine. But on the other side, Washington and London, and some of the other Central and Northern European nations, some of them former Soviet bloc countries, see the Russian offensive as a harbinger of what Russia will do if they're not stopped now. I tend to agree. So France and Germany are balking, according to this story. Although we're hearing most recently, too, though, that Germany is also leading the way in trying to make sure that that we have, major oil sanctions in place. Story on the BBC. Got it right here. Dated yesterday. BBC reports that the EU has agreed to a compromise deal on banning imports. EU leaders say they will block most Russian oil imports by the end of 2022 to punish Moscow for invading Ukraine. The EU-wide ban will affect all oil that arrives by sea, which is two-thirds of those imports, but not pipeline oil because Hungary, which receives its oil by pipeline, objected. And Poland and Germany have also pledged to end their pipeline imports, though, meaning that a total of 90% of Russians' European oil exports will be blocked. I don't know how long the Russian economy can sustain that. The Russian ambassador said there's going to be serious problems if the EU were to agree on a gas embargo. Well, I got news, Russia. You started this. All right, Coppa, move us to a break. We got to do that before I run out of time. Yeah, it's been a day. Listen, we got a little bit more, but if you want to call in, I'll take it. 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. The phone line's lit up, so let's see if we can get these done before we hit the end of the show. Line one, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
I'll answer that by saying hump day. Whoop, whoop. Something frivolous real quick. I'm wondering if the conservatives take over both the House and the Senate in the fall. Will you change Boston's Don't Look Back to Boston's Feeling Satisfied?
Oh my goodness. Thanks. Oh my gosh. That's epic. Brian, thank you so much for that. That was Brian was feeling rather saucy today, I think. That was he's excited that it's hump day too. Let me jump over to line three. Line three, Colin from Decatur. Hey Colin, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Bill, good, all right. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to point out something I've never heard anyone talking about. I used to do military contracting, and a few years ago when Trump was president, near the beginning there was a lot of talk about freeing up some stuff in NATO to make Russia a little bit less aggressive. And I'm personally of the opinion that if the Russian collusion lie hadn't been spread, that we may not even be seeing the war in Ukraine and potentially could have turned Russia into a major ally against China.
Well, that's an interesting point. I mean, we certainly didn't get anywhere with the great reset button from Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State under Obama. So, we'll never know, though, because they were so intent upon keeping power, they were willing to smear the existing president of the United States, Donald Trump, just to try and get their way. But, Colin, interesting point. Interesting point, very much. All right. Hey, Colin, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it very much. I'll jump over to line 5, Sparky from Harvest. Hey, Sparky, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil. Awesome. I enjoyed listening to your discussion of the media reporting on the LGBTQ soldiers in Ukraine, and you're perplexed on what irresponsible reporting that is. I actually had a sort of a chat conversation with an old friend of mine who lives out in Texas. He's a gay gentleman, and we often talk about the media pandering to gays and LGBTQ, and I always want his take on it. And he explained to me once or twice. He said, "John, they aren't pandering to us like gay guys and girls. They're pandering to the great masses out there in the liberal Democrat, the housewives, the hairy-legged hippie chicks, the college students, completely straight people, because they want to convince them that this is a noble social justice warrior thing, when in fact most of your gays and I dare say even transgender, like you started to imply, don't need to be celebrated, and they don't need to be championed in any way. They want to figure out their own lives and problems, and they don't need politicians pandering for votes by pretending to care about them." And I really appreciate that perspective from my friend.
No, I think that's spot on, man. I think you're absolutely right, and I think your friend is absolutely right. And I'm gonna spend the rest of the afternoon trying to get the hairy-legged hippie checks out of my mind. That's gonna be burned in there for quite a while. Good call, Sparky. Appreciate you as always. Thanks so much, and have a great day. All right. Hey, listen, folks, the war in Ukraine is not going away anytime soon. And I do want to point this out. It's something, I mean, I've got an amazing update here that I'm not going to be able to get into because we're out of time. But there's one other story that I was going to mention from Army Times. Army Times, our own General Milley, Chief of Staff chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he made the point yesterday that in discussing this situation with what's called the Five Eyes, the five intelligence sharing alliance members, which is Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, am I right, and the U.S., that one of the things they've discussed is the level of grain export blockades, because something like, I want to say, 2/3 or more of the grain exports from Ukraine, which is part of the breadbasket of Europe, and really supplies grain to large portions of the world, that they are blocked right now. But he said that in order to try and break that blockade, because the sea lanes have been blocked by mines and the Russian Navy, it would require a significant level of military effort, and he does not believe that policymakers should ever opt towards doing that. So we will continue. Folks, it's been a full day. Thank you so much for being with us. This show is only here because of you, and it's an honor to have this platform. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Copper and I back here again tomorrow, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.